Jesus cares. God loves you. And he still cares. And God is faithful and compassionate, full and rich in love, and slow to anger. We come to a good God, a merciful God, a just God this morning, bringing our thanks and praise and also our needs, our supplication. So let us come before the Lord. And if you feel led to mention a name or circumstances during quiet time, you may do so during silence, in silence. Pray to God from your heart, or mention the names that need to be mentioned out loud. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise your holy name. Lord, you are awesome. You are mighty. You are wonderful. Lord, you are glorious. Lord, you are loved. You are merciful. Lord, you are good. And you are a good Father. Lord, you are forgiving. Lord, we thank you for all that you are. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for setting us free from all our captivities, all of our burdens. Lord, we thank you that you wash away all of our guilts and sins, once and for all, O God, and it is finished. Lord, we thank you for the work that you did for us on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for your gift of love, life, and all the wonderful things that you have given to us as human beings, as your people, as the body of Christ in this place. Lord, we celebrate today of all the wonderful things that this nation received through you and through your grace and through your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the people. We thank you, O God, for our wonderful nation, its leaders. Lord, the land of the beauty and the freedom. Lord, as we remember and celebrate this moment of our Independence Day, Lord, help us to continue to depend on you. You and you alone are our God, our Savior. You alone are faithful. You alone, O God, are true and righteous. Lord, we recognize that as we celebrate many good things, Lord, we see more and more that we need you. We need your presence. We need your healing. We need your restorations. We need your cleansing, O God. We need your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to fill us and to guide us, and Lord, to protect us from the evil one. Oh Lord, we need you. This nation needs you. Lord, we call on you to be with us, to help us, to guide us. Oh Lord, we pray for the physical and the spiritual and the emotional healing of your people. Individuals, family, communities, and churches. As a nation, Lord, we need your healing power. Lord, we know that the healing that will come from you can only come through prayer. So we pray you now, Lord, freely, as your children, not as enemies. We pray from our hearts, individually, either silently or praying out loud, whatever we need, Lord, we bring before you at the foot of the cross at this time. thank you for the birth of precious little daughter and granddaughter for Bonnie and thank you, Lord, that you hear us. Thank you that you answer our prayers according to your will and your riches and your glory in heaven and here on earth, Lord. We ask that you will be pleased in all these offerings of our prayers. May these be a nice and sweet aroma to you, O God, as part of our worship, as individual, as a church. Lord, as a nation, we call on your name. Lord, we pray for repentance and renewal of the churches, Lord, of the communities and nation, that we will turn back to you and call on you as Abba, Father, God and Savior. And as you do, Lord, we trust you and we believe in you that you will reveal yourself to us. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to all of us, to those who call on your name. In Jesus' name, amen. The gospel lesson this morning is chosen from the book of Luke, chapter 11. The good news is verse 1. However, we're going to put on the whole chapter, if you have it, throughout the sermon, throughout the preaching. If you don't have, no problem. I will refer this to throughout, and you can also look up in your Bible. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus prayed. Now, let me say just one more time. Jesus prayed. Did you hear that? I mean, Jesus, the Son of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, He was the Alpha, the Omega. He was there right from the beginning. I mean, Jesus prayed. Wow. That's ought to be our reaction, right? You know, I pray because I'm a sinner. I need to pray. I need to pray every moment, every hour, every day. In fact, I need to pray more than Jesus because I need grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. I need forgiveness. I need God's love. I need comfort. I need peace. I need joy. I need daily food. I better be praying every day. But Scripture said Jesus prayed. Not just one time. Throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you remember that Jesus went to isolated places. In the Eden would be he slipped away, right? In secret locations. In a quiet place. Early in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And some points he prayed all night long because his soul was in trouble and he was overwhelmed. Jesus, the Son of God, was overwhelmed. Have you been overwhelmed? Do you have troubles? Do you have difficult circumstances? Do you have crisis? Do you have mountains? Things, challenges and obstacles, and you don't even know how you could possibly go through the day, the night, the week, the month. And if you say, well, I have those, but I just do it my way, then I say, here comes a man or woman who is much stronger than Jesus. Because Jesus prayed. Oh, he prayed. Now, we don't know exactly every single prayer that Jesus said, but at this particular point in Luke chapter 11, the disciples waited until he finished. No one dare bother him or disturbed him, but they waited. But when he finished praying, one of his disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not Lord, teach us to preach. Teach us to do your works. Teach us to do miracles. Teach us to sing. Teach us to dance. I mean, the list could go on, right? But they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, then Jesus outlined the content of prayer, how prayer should be, the model of prayer. Now, I don't mean to say this morning that this is should be the only way in which we should pray. But this is the model that Jesus gave to the disciples. And we can see this in Luke and also a different account in Matthew, at a different place in Matthew chapter 6. And the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples started out with the address, the location. Father, address to Heavenly Father. The name, the place. And Matthew said, Our Father who art in heaven. So I believe that heaven is somewhere up there. So everybody points, if you could point up, if you could, right? So that's just my guess, all right? I'm not sure that's exactly where it is, but heaven is where Jesus is. Is that good enough for us? Heaven is where Jesus is. So Jesus prayed and said, look, taught the prayer and said, look, this is how we ought to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who placed the stars in the skies, the God who set the ocean. You can only come to this point and you need to stop. The God who created everything, everything, you and me. That God, this mighty God, is our Heavenly Father. And we call on His name, and His name alone. You know, this prayer is so important for us to review and to remember, and not just to say it, to pray as often as possible. In fact, we will do that later in the service during our communion time. You know, there are so many people throughout history and even today who do not want to call on the name of God, the name of Jesus, as the only true God, the God in heaven, the one who created everything. It was then in the prophet Elijah time in 1 Kings when prophets Elijah in his days, there were kings and queens and false prophets and false teachings of his day. Left and right were worshiping the false gods and running after all other names but God and praying to false gods. And remember the story of Ahab and his wife and the practice of Baal. Or bow. Remember the showdown at that Mount Carmel when Elijah confronted the king Ahab and the false prophets and said, look, we're going to pray. If the God, Yahweh, if the Lord be Lord, if the Lord be God, you follow him. But if the God of Baal is Lord, you follow him. So the showdown was that they would put they would butcher or they would kill animals and put it on the altar, and that they would call and they would not lit fire, but they would call on God to bring down fire. And so Elijah said to the false prophets and said, you pray to your God and see if the fire would come down from heaven. So the false prophet pray. Citing the name of their false god. Nothing happened. They pray, and in fact, they hurt themselves by cutting themselves and doing all sorts of violent things to themselves as taught by their religions, but still nothing happened. Finally, Elijah prayed to God, and he instructed the people to put in certain orders and place the meat on top of the stones and line up 12 stones and build an altar and pour water in it. And you know what? He prayed to God, and God answered his prayer, and fire came down. And remember the word of Elijah. He said, how long, you people? How long you will halt between two opinions and two point of views? How long will you waver? How long you will stand on the fence and not to take a stand? And that day, God showed up for Elijah. Men and women, today we don't have pagan religions in that capacity of Baal practices and so forth, but we do have our own elements or characters of unbelieving in this nation. Whether it will be secularism, materialism, atheism, I mean, you can name it all, humanism, evolutionism, I mean, all those isms that are contradict to the word of God and the true one, the true God. I mean, those are the threats that can harm the church and its people. And in fact, the very fact Jesus had prayed for the disciples and for his disciples and the future disciples in John 17. He prayed for them that they will be protected from the evil one. How timely, how relevant it is for us to pray in God's name and to call on the name of God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, you are my heavenly Father, but I respect you, I honor your name. And I do not worship any other gods but you, O God, that your name shall be holy. Hallowed be thy name. Your name shall be holy. Your name shall be set apart. Oh, don't we need to pray that prayer? And we need to pray that God's kingdoms come. We need his kingdom. We need his kingdom in the midst of our way of life. When we think about our way of life, and as you mentioned in our prayers, yes, in a celebration of the good things, the freedom and the birth of babies and daughters and granddaughters and grandson and son, we have other things like tragedies, terrorism, natural disasters. Oh, don't we need to pray for God's kingdom to come? Oh, his kingdom. We long for God to reign once and for all in our hearts, in our nation, in the world. So that God will truly be honored and glorified once and for all, that his kingdom will reign forever and ever and ever. That's what we got to be praying for. And as you do in verse 3, it said, give us each day our daily bread. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. That's Jesus' food. And as we pray for our daily bread, and you all say, well, what's the point of praying? And I've done this on this text, I preached this a few weeks ago, about we don't really pray for our three meals a day. We have it, right? We enjoy our meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But if you're on diet, perhaps one or two meals a day with chocolates and some goodies. But we don't pray that we have daily bread or daily chocolate. We don't need to. We have it. God has been great, gracious to us, and we have our daily food. But what could this possibly be? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. That's Jesus' food. We need that food too, don't we? Daily, to do God's will, to finish God's work. How may we do so? In our daily life, as we relate with our husband, our wife, our children, our grandparents, our relatives, our co-workers. We need the daily food to show kindness, to show compassion, to forgive, to love. Some of you may be saying, oh, some of us may be saying, oh, I've been trying to love my husband for years. It's just impossible. I just let it be. Or some of you may say, I've been trying to love my wife for so many years. It's just impossible. So I just try to understand her. Well, we can't do it. We can't do it alone. We can't get this food on our own. See, we need God to fill us daily. We need God to grant us and fill us with the Holy Spirit. And that ought to be the prayer of believers each day and each moment. When we pray, we say, Lord, cleanse me, set me apart. Slay this old self and let me live anew, transform me. And then, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power so I can live the kind of life that you want me to live. So I can do your will, I can do your work. Give us this day our daily bread. Then comes next, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. You know, I need forgiveness because I sin. And I know you do too. And I know you sin. Why? Because the scripture said that. Right? For all have what? For all have sins and have fallen short of the glory of God. But you say, then what is the good news? Let's just say amen and go home, since we all sin. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? Or maybe not. But the good news is that therefore there is no condemnation. There is no law, no condemnation for those who trust in him, who believe in Jesus, in Christ alone. Our faith, our salvation is a gift that we can earn, we can do to get this faith or to receive the salvation. Our faith, the grace of God, the salvation is a gift of God by faith through Christ, through grace in Christ alone. So forgiveness has to also come from God, not from us. So as we receive God's forgiveness, as we recognize that we are sinners, standing before God and saying, Lord, I'm here only because of what you have done for me on the cross, that you washed away all of my sins, and that you broke my chains and you set me free. Therefore, Lord, I'm grateful and I'm forever dependent on you for this forgiveness. On this day of independence, on the 4th of July, as we remember the Declaration of Independence of this nation, men and women, we will once again renew our total dependence on God for our faith, for our salvation, and for forgiveness. And you say, well, if that's the case, then why did Jesus pray? Jesus doesn't need forgiveness. He didn't sin. Well, Jesus prayed because Jesus loves God. Jesus prayed because he is totally dependent on God. Total submission to God in prayer. In John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, by my own I can do anything. He said, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. We, my friends, children of God, are dependent on God for everything, for his love, for his peace, for his forgiveness. If we are dependent on God for everything, then we must submit to God. We must come to God in full submission. As Elijah called out on Mount Carmel, if the Lord be God, we need to follow him. We need to obey him. Total obedience, total submission. And you say, well, that's possible for Jesus. He's God. Well, the Bible also said Jesus was fully man. And this man of Nazareth, he prayed to God. Even before he fed the multitude, the 5,000, the 4,000, he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks to God for all that he has done, for his power, his glory, his honor. And did I dare say John 17? Jesus prayed for himself, that God will be glorified in him. Men and women, we can't do it alone. We need God. Oh, try to live the will of God. Try to do the work of God by your own strength. You and I, my friend, will fail. But we have a God who knows our weakness. We know a God. We have a God who is sympathized with us. In fact, Jesus, at this moment, at this hour, in heaven, you know what Jesus is doing? Hebrews 7 tells us this, that Jesus is what? Interceding for us. You know what that means? He's praying for us. Now, if Jesus is praying for us right now, we've been saved, right? We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But why would Jesus be praying for us? Any guesses? Any thoughts? Well, he loves us. He still cares for us. That's the good news. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Jesus is, in fact, at this hour praying for us. He knows that we can't do it alone. We need his help. We need his strength. We need his power. That he knows that we need to depend on him for everything. So we have a God who knows us, who understands us, who bless the biker. We ought to have a blessing of the bikes like other churches, all right, in the summer. So we'll talk about it later on. But for now, going back to the point, we can't do it alone. So who sent what and who? If you go down to Luke chapter 11, and you look at your scripture and your Bible, and the ending part of the last part of chapter 11, Jesus told parables about God's faithfulness and, in fact, our perseverance, our persistence. The way why we need to be persistent in prayers, that not lose heart, not to give up. Whether it may take 10 or 15 years to pray for certain things, that it's so easy for us to give up when nothing happened. And Jesus said not to give up, and he gave a parable of a man visiting his neighbor at midnight asking for bread for a friend who visited him. And not because the neighbor is so nice, but because of the scripture said, his shameless audacity of asking. The neighbor will surely give as much as he needs. And so Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find, and knock, and the door will be opened to you. Now, let me say this to you. Men and women, Jesus knows our weakness. Jesus knows we can't do it. But he said what? Ask. Our job is to do what? To ask. And never lose heart. Never, never give up. If you kind of lost through my points here through for the last few minutes, just remember this. Never, never give up. Pray. Pray without ceasing. And ask. Psalm 2 said, God can give you a nation if you ask for it. Ask the nation and he will give it to you. Jesus came to give you life abundant. He cares for your physical needs. He cares for your spiritual needs. He cares about you. Ask God and seek him and knock the door. It will be open unto you. That's his promise. Oh, we do have prayer life when we do start praying. We do ask for things. But after one day or one week or one month or one year, nothing happened, we lose heart. And Jesus knows that. So he encourages us and he asks us to say, look, when you pray, give thanks to God. Remember who God is. He's your heavenly Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if God has 10,000 cattle on a hill and God owns everything, Your needs is not going to hurt God's budget. Ask him. So why wait? Men and women, we wait because we're not sure. Or we don't pray at all because we don't believe. Or we don't do it as God says because we don't know the word of God. We don't know the word of God because we don't take the time to be with God in prayer, in reading of his holy word daily. But why wait? Jesus said, here's the prayer. Ask for daily food. Ask for what you need. Praise God. Ask for forgiveness. But when you ask, also remember what Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, who was fully God and fully man. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that prayer? Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, what? Take this cup away from me. But yet not as my will, but as you will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray a prayer like that, you're trusting God completely with full submission and say, Lord, here are my needs, and you are the richest God on earth. You have everything I need. I can pray for anything at all. And you promise that you will give it to me. Remember your word to your servant, O Lord, for you have given me hope. Psalm 119. Ask God and trust him with the answer. There is no such a thing as unanswered prayer. God answer according to his will, for his glory, his honor. Let us continue to pray and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, would you please stand and join me in singing the communion preparation hymn number 256.